Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Such a huge blessing to us, and because of their efforts, and obviously the ministry of the word and the music, it all works together, but the gospel doesn't have to stay in these four walls, and it can be shared all throughout the world. And we minister to millions, literally we minister to millions every month because of the efforts of the media team and because of your efforts and your giving and your sacrifice. Amen. God is continuing to use this church to be a blessing all throughout the world. Well, let's just get into the message here today. Have you ever heard of a yes day? Have you? It is when parents decide to say yes to everything that their kids ask for 24 hours. Apparently, this amazing idea came from a children's book written by Amy Cross Rosenthal, and it was recently turned into a movie starring Jennifer Gardner. Thankfully, yesday.com.au has some ground rules that you need to agree upon before this free-for-all that is led by your children with developing brains commences. Here are a few of the rules that you have to follow if you're going to do a yes day. A yes day needs to be earned, so they don't just get it for free. Requests can affect the future, so they're not able to ask for a dog. It can't affect the future. Requests can't be dangerous or illegal. You have to set a budget for it. Set an agreed travel distance, something like no more than 20 minutes in a car. I don't think that's practical for a Sydney-sider. I think you'd probably have to set it to about an hour if you want to go anywhere. But you set that parameter. You can't tell other people in public that you're having a yes day. So if your child asks you to get up and dance like Bluey asked her mom and dad to do, you can't tell them that you're doing it because of a yes day. You come up with your five big asks. These are the must-dos to ensure that your yes day is a success. Everyone has to work together to clean up the mess, parents said. Thank you. To clean up the mess the day after yes day. I reckon they should make a yes day for parents. Skip the kids. Why can't we get a yes day? Where they have to agree to everything we tell them to do, and no fighting, no bickering, no debate. That would be a yes day I could sign up for. I jokingly say to the girls every once in a while, they'll be asking me a whole bunch of questions. I keep saying no, and I said, today's a no day. I don't think they appreciate that. But I'm not so sure it was a yes day that the Apostle Paul had in mind when he was writing to the Corinthian church for the second time. His second letter to the church, he was having to defend himself because he had made previous arrangements to visit them, but he had to change those arrangements. His plan was to visit while on his way to Macedonia and then stop by again on his way back to Judea from Macedonia. We're not exactly sure why Paul was unable to visit them in Corinth, but instead he wrote them this letter. And obviously, we are beneficiaries of this change of plans because we now have this letter or epistle to read from and to learn from. And so I want to direct your attention to verses 17 and to 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It'll be on the screen, but if you can turn your Bibles and maybe keep your Bibles open there throughout the remainder of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. And we'll be reading it in the New American Standard Bible because, as you can tell from my accent, 15 years ago, I moved here from America. And so that's the inspired word of God. Amen. I'm kidding. I just like that version a bit more. And also, we'll be looking at the New Living Translation of the same passage. So starting at verse 17, therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, was who was preached among you by us, by me, and by Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. And the New Living Translation of the same passage says, you may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I am like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen ascends to God for his glory. I want to lift my title for this message from verse 19. God's ultimate yes. God's ultimate yes. The apostle, he begins his defense by saying, do you think I make plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? Paul is saying, when I said we were going to come, I had every intention of coming. I was planning to be there. I didn't say that I was going to come and then take it back, but I actually wanted to be there. I intended on it. I'm not like someone who agrees to plans who only to cancel them because they never wanted to go in the first place. Who knows somebody like that? Just agree to the plan so you don't have to tell them no to their face and then wait later. Like, oh, sorry, something came up. That something was always there. It was. Paul say, I'm not like that. If I say I'm going to come, I'm going to come. I was planning to be there. And Paul went a step further when he said, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. Then he pivots. He says, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. Paul is referencing when he first brought the gospel to Corinth in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, verse 5, it says, but when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He also talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He talks about his first time going to Corinth in verses 1 to 5. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In my speech and my preaching, they were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, it would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. When Paul came to the city, when he came to the city that needed the gospel, he didn't come with a flowery speech. He didn't come with the wisdom of man, but he simply preached Jesus. And when he preached Jesus, there was a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. When he preached Jesus, the Spirit of God moved in a miraculous way. I've come to tell somebody today, just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. I heard a great preacher once say, throughout human history, thousands of men have wanted to be God, but there is only one God that wanted to be a man. Hallelujah. H.G. Wells, he said this. He said, I am a historian, not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history. There are four gospels in the Bible dedicated to his life, but the entire book, the Old and the New Testament, it is about him. It is about him. Listen to what Jesus said in the gospel according to John. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that they will give you eternal life, but it's the scriptures who point to me. Hallelujah. Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians that the entire universe was created by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. Everything in this visible creation points to Jesus. You see, because it's all about him. Christ is all and in all. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Because it's in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the great I am. You see, Jesus is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He came. He loved. He served. He healed. He delivered. He was crucified, but the cross couldn't hold him. He died, but death couldn't stop him. He was buried, but the brave grave couldn't contain him. Hallelujah. And he rose the third day with authority and power. And because he rose, he has authority over every situation that you face today. He has authority over your sickness. He has the power over your sin. He has the power over it all. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And if you've been in this church for 5 minutes, preach Jesus. If you've been in this church for 25 years, preach Jesus. Because it is in him that you will find forgiveness. It is in him that you will find true freedom. It is in him that you will find rest for your weary soul. He is still the good news that this world needs to hear. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. I know many of you have heard this message before, but it should still resound in your heart here today. It's all about him. That is why we gather. That is why we worship. That is why we are here, because it's all about him, and they need to hear about him. Hallelujah. Getting back to our main text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 19, Paul said, he is the one. Jesus is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. He always does what he says. You serve a God that always does what he says he's going to do. Oh, it's about to get really good here in the house today. He always says what he's going to do. I said he always does what he says. Hallelujah. He is not a man that he would lie. His word is forever settled. You can put your trust in him today. You can put your trust in his word here today. I've come to remind someone here today that if you've received a word from the Lord, he will fulfill it. He always does what he says. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You serve a God that always does what he says. Hallelujah. And that brings us to verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to park here for a little bit. After defending himself, he highlighted his integrity and the faithfulness of God. Paul writes something that is so transformational, and it is the main crux of this message here today. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. The ESV puts it this way, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. What does that mean? It means that all the promises of God, made from the beginning, they find their fulfillment in Christ. Everything points to Christ. In him, in Jesus Christ, the promises of God find their yes. Hallelujah. That is powerful all by itself. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for you and me here today? You see, this is a concept that Paul addresses multiple times in his letter to different churches. He wrote a number of letters to different churches that he had started the works or visited. He talks about it in Romans chapter 15, where he says that Christ confirms the promises given unto the fathers. But I want to direct you to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, he begins by talking about the importance of faith compared to works in our walk with God. And then he transitions to discussing the promises given to Abraham all the way back in Genesis. He says the promises from God were given to the seed of Abraham. The promises of God were given to the seed of Abraham. And he reveals that that seed is Christ. The promises that were given to Abraham was given to his seed, singular. And that seed is Christ. For the promise has been given to Christ. And it is found in him. The promises of God have been given to Christ and they are found in him. But what does that mean to us? It's great that the promises of God are found in Christ. It's great that they are in him. But what does that mean to you and me in 2024? Listen to this, starting at verse 26 of Galatians chapter 3. The word of God is just amazing. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Hallelujah. The promises of God are found in Christ. He is the ultimate yes. But how do we gain access to those same promises? If the promises are in Christ, if he is the ultimate yes, how is it that we gain access to those promises? Those same promises that were given to Abraham and his descendants, how is it that we are able to gain access to those promises of God? It is when we put our faith in Christ and are baptized in his name. It is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we are baptized in the name of Jesus. That is how you get in Christ. That is how you get in Christ. You are buried with him in baptism. Hallelujah. Oh God. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you are baptized into Christ. You are no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free. You are no longer male or female. You are all one in Christ. Hallelujah. And if you belong to Christ, then everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. Because you are an inheritance. Hallelujah. You have access to the inheritance. You are part of the family of God. Because you are in Christ, all the promises in this book belong to you. Hallelujah. That is why you need to get baptized. It's not so that you can join a church. It's not just to say that I'm following Jesus Christ now. No, you need to be baptized so that you can be baptized into Christ. That's how you gain access to the promises of God. Hallelujah. You need to get in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. If I could please get the musicians to come. You need to get in Christ. When you are baptized, not only are your sins washed away, not only do you become a new creation, old things are passed away, all things become new. That's good all by itself. Your sins are washed away. You begin a new life. Old things are gone. You are now a new creature. But along with all of that, the benefit is that you gain access to all the promises of God because they are in Christ. And you are baptized into him. Hallelujah. So when you read a promise given to the people of God in the Old Testament, that promise now belongs to you. That is why we don't have to limit our preaching to only the New Testament. This whole book is full of promises that belong to you and they belong to me because I am in Christ and the promises of God belong to me. And so if you feel alone, he promised that he would never leave you or forsake you. If you came into this place and you feel anxious, remember that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your mind. If you feel ashamed, remember that His grace is sufficient for you. He will forgive you of your sins. If you came into this place and the bills keep piling up, remember that He shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. If you are battling a sickness, remember that by His wounds you are healed. The promises belong to you. You are in Christ. That is your heritage. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you to declare the promises of God in your life. Declare His promises in your family. Pray the word of God. Pray the promises of God. And say, Lord, You promised me, if you feel anxious, You promised me that I will have peace in You. And so I declare that in my life. I am in You. And so I will have peace of mind in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. He is the ultimate yes. So if you need forgiveness, the answer from Jesus is yes today. Oh, if you need salvation, the answer from Jesus is yes today. Hallelujah. If you feel ashamed, you can come to Him and the answer will be yes. You are His child. If you feel alone, He is the comforter. The answer is yes. He is the ultimate yes here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could be upstanding as I come to a close, thank you for your attention here today. Hallelujah. Declare the promises of God over your life and your family. Read His word. Read His word. Not just as a casual observer, but because you are written into those pages. When you are baptized into Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. It's little wonder why the Apostle Peter, he literally commanded people to be baptized in the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. And if you came into this place and you've been thinking about being baptized, I want to encourage you, make that decision here today. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You can get into Christ here today. You don't have to leave this place the same way that you walked in, but you can have access to the presence and the power of God. You can become part of the family of God. Hallelujah. There's an old song that we used to sing in my church growing up. We like to sing out of the hymn book. They tell us, you know, turn to page 120, and then we would sing it. But there's this old song that we used to sing, and it says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, in every line, all are blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, and I've come to remind someone here today, if you feel weary, every promise in the book is yours. If you've been baptized in His name, it belongs to you, and you have access by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep walking through misery, but you can walk in joy. You can walk in peace. You can find fulfillment in Him. Every promise in the book is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This place here at the front, it's a place we call the altar, but it's just an opportunity for you to gather and pray. And our leaders would love to pray with you here today. If you need to claim a promise in this place, I want to give you an opportunity to spend some time with the Lord. One of the greatest promises in His word is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promises it to us. Jesus promised it. It was poured out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That promise of the Holy Spirit is for you today, and you can receive it by faith. If you lift up your hands and worship Him, He can fill you here today. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word of the Lord today. Every promise in the book is mine, and I'm going to declare that in my life here today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. It is forever settled in heaven. Jesus, Your word is sure. It is steadfast. You always keep it, God. You always keep Your promises. And those promises that were given to Abraham, those promises that were given all throughout the word, those promises that are found in Christ, Lord, we have access to them today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would have them do a special work in someone's life here today. Lord, that they would not leave this place walking in a defeated mentality, but understand who they are in you. They are your child, and they have access to you. They have access to you through faith, through belief in your word. I pray, God, that you would minister in this place, touch lives, change lives, pour out your spirit in a wonderful way here today. Hallelujah. These altars are open if you'd like to respond to the word. We'd love to pray with you here today. God can do a work in your life.